with you. Listen to the good news proclaimed in the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, reading from the 34th verse.
Glory
to Christ, our Savior. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ.
Dear God, as you fill this place with your presence in spirit, we pray that you will speak to each one of us, because here we have gathered this morning to hear your word. And so, dear God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, our strength and our Redeemer. As we pray this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I had a particular message for this morning, but I've just thought about when I heard the second reading being done, that maybe I should just change that to two simple words: frankly and fearlessly. Beautiful, beautiful words. Friends, it is difficult to say something new about what we would call the most ancient of commandments, the summary of the law and the prophets, the commandments that we are given, the things that we all so desperately would like to meet in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I think this is where you say to me, "Yes, Father, we've heard this so many times. You're welcome to go and sit down and we will tell you a thing or two." It's simply this: as we go on, as we live day by day, as we try to act out the expectations of these commandments, it's only then that you and I will come to a very deeper understanding and realization of these and find deeper meaning and try to fulfill them. Because the Word of God says that it is the love that we are called to exercise amongst ourselves and to God is the kind of love that we see in Christ Jesus. So what is this love?
This love that all Christians, says the word of God, are called to have. This love that is meant to make me and you grow in fruits of the Spirit as we allow God to work through and in our lives. This love that is meant to be expressed in our life as a result of our faith in Him. This love that is meant to flow from us as a simple result of us accepting God's love, accepting God's forgiveness for us sinful people, and God's will as He continued to declare this unto each one of us. How do we love God with all our heart and all our soul and mind and strength? All four things being brought together, heart, mind, soul, and strength. There are people who would gladly declare their faith, their belief, and their love for God. And yet they will not find the time to express this love and faith in word, in prayer, in song, in other words, in worship. There are people who say that I believe in Christ and I love Him, but I don't want to have fellowship with others in the context of a service. There are others who continue to do words of charity, good things. But sometimes they do this out of a sense of duty or a sense of pride or fear. And there's a warning in all of this, because it says then our thoughts are not sanctified, they are not holy, and that the different parts of ourselves are not in harmony. It's not at peace with one another, it is conflicted, so to speak. And yet there are others who will still pour out all their strength and their mind power upon doing God's will. And yet they will go through life and not feel necessarily positive, left alone, affectionate towards God and His people. We all know, we've been there, this is a journey. They feel empty, even though they know that they are doing what we would call the right thing. And so we know that our daily struggles, our daily routines, our pains can throw us off course. We know that it can wear us down. It can put stress on us. And it can continue to foster this kind of divisions within and the divisions without. And then Jesus comes along and He says that we should love God with everything that we have. That our love needs to go beyond just simply an expression of agreement or a promise as been seen in every part of our lives. The word says that we are to love God and our neighbors. And like I said earlier, the word says that we are to love God and our neighbors with the feeling center of our being, with the place of passion, with the heart. But it also says that we need to love God and neighbor with the rational and thoughtful part of us, our minds. And it says that we should love God and neighbor with the mystical part of us. That part at the end which has the power of the will and the power of life and death, the soul. And then it says we ought to love God and our neighbor with the doing part of us. And we need to do so in strength. And again, not our own strength, but the strength that we are given by God through His Spirit. And that there should be no division within and without. That we should love. It is said of St. John, the apostle and the gospel writer, that he was the only one amongst the apostles who grew really old. How old? We are not told. But he was old and he lost his sight and his hearing. And yet he was brought to the temple Sunday after Sunday to preach. And people would gather in complete silence to try and hear his message. And this message would be quite simple. My children, you should love one another. You should love one another and fulfill the law. And he would repeat these words over and over and over and over. My children, you should love one another. You should love one another and fulfill the law. You see, and now we need to talk about how we love even when the way becomes difficult and we are divided within and without. Each one of us go through our own struggles. I know the annoying guy, that a colleague that we work with, that we just cannot get off with. How do I love him or her? And you know what? God knows all of this. God knows our struggles. He knows how divided we can be within. He knows that our different parts are not always in peace, at peace. It is in struggle. He knows that thoughts of want and greed sometimes tend to want to dominate us. He knows that thoughts of judgment wants to mislead us. He knows that wrongful whispers of war has been circled and around us in this world. And God knows all of this. And yet God is patient with us, and God is forgiving, even when things go wrong with our love, and we love or we love not. And God doesn't give up on us. He will persist with the call to each one of us to love one another. So how do I know that I'm loving well? How do I know that I'm living up to the standard? How do I determine the standard? How do I make sure that I keep track that I am on the right way? Even when the world and myself begin to question my love. And the answer, dear friends, is this. You and I, we know that we are doing well and that we are loving well if we are living up to the standard of the law and to the example of Jesus Christ himself. And what is even more important at the end of the day is, despite all our struggles, it is about God who loves us. It is about the reminder that our redemption, our salvation, is more dependent upon God's love for us than our love for God and for each other. It is just a reminder that we do not deserve heaven, but that God embraces us and gives us heaven in Jesus Christ. In our New Testament reading this morning, Paul was attacked by the people of Philippi whilst he was trying to live up to the expectations of the commandments and the law. The people were saying about Paul that he was not doing well in all of this, that he was preying upon the people whom he met, that he was seeking his own welfare, and that he was deceiving them about what the good news is all about. They were saying, yeah, you, Paul, you are building yourself your own little kingdom rather than serving the glory of God. And how did Paul defend himself? Paul defended himself by appealing to God's standard, not the world's standard. He said to them, you're talking about deceit and slander. He said, I'm bringing to you for your consideration purity and responsibility. And I'm doing so frankly and fearlessly. He says to the people, you like personal praise and you like to speak words of flattery instead of seeking to please God and being tender to one another. He says, you shamelessly mistreated him of that. I suffered persecution at your hands when you ought to love one another. And these, says Paul, are the standards that maybe you and I should also use to determine whether we love as we should. They are the standards of the Bible. They are the standards I want to believe of morality. These we would do, and it will show up in our life as people who love or as people who love not. And Jesus so aptly says that the greatest commandment does not replace the law and the prophets. It summarizes the law and the prophets. And so we would know whether we are on course or off course. Because we as Christians, we have two testaments that explain to us the love of God for each one of us. That explains to us the nature of God's kingdom. That explains to us what we need to do to earn unto ourselves eternal life. And that somehow gets us to understand the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first contains, says the Word of God, the law, the very law that Jesus summarizes this morning. And the second contains for each one of us the example, the perfect fulfillment of that law in human living in Jesus Christ himself. So what more do we need? So how do I know if I am loving as I ought to? How can I tell if I am on the right path in how I show the love that God has given me? And maybe the answer is found in questions like, do I show and have respect for others? Do I allow others to have their dignity and their place in God's Son? Do I give off myself unto others so that I can build them and empower them and somehow edify the body? Or do I just give them a glimpse of myself whilst I am pursuing my own agenda? The answer may be found in simple questions like, do I render unto Caesar what is Caesar's? Do I pay my taxes? Do I take my responsibility for fellow citizens? I know that we're living in difficult times, and it is difficult to find some positives amongst the many negatives. Do I support the work of the government? And that is a difficult thing to do. We pray for them. We are on our knees for our government. Or do we mock the laws of our country? Do we lie and cheat to get ahead? Or do I share my abundance willingly with others? Do I tithe my income so that God's commands are obeyed and ministry has been exercised amongst these people? Do I do as God command me and pray for my leaders? Do I seek the wisdom of the Spirit when I need to make a decision as to who to vote for? How do I discern between what is right and wrong? Believe me, there are many, many more questions to ask. And we should be asking these questions because at least these questions keep us honest. That is what is important. And when we ask these questions and we do so with sincerity and we think about them prayerfully, dear friends, it is the kind of things that can bring the wholeness that all of us are seeking for. In our own lives, in the faith community, the Church of God, and in the world, and in our country. And so the word is very simple. It says, please do not forget. We are created in the image of God. That's the first thing. Secondly, we are called and chosen by God to be part of His special family. And thirdly, the word says, our duty and our privilege as followers of Jesus Christ is simply to love and to remind others to also love. Love one another as Christ loves you. I think at the end of the day, it's all about being faithful unto God. Ultimately, that is what our life is all about. It is about us wanting to be faithful unto God. It is about us praying a very simple prayer this morning, dear friends. A prayer that says the following, dear God, help me to do what is right. Lord, help me to love as I ought to love. And maybe as we are so often called upon to emulate the example of our Redeemer, make me more like Jesus, He who lived and died to set me free so that I can love my God and my neighbor. As we pray this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.